Sure. What story do you want?
From 1958 until the 1970s, Jim Kopp told children's stories. He didn't write children's books, but he and his business partner, Ed Brown, created, performed, and recorded his stories in a series of children's records. Now here's a short take from a story called Martha Matilda O'Toole.
Martha Matilda O'Toole went skipping off to school, but as she was turning to go through the gate, discovered that she had forgotten her slate. Thought Martha, the teacher won't like it a bit. I'd better go get it. My, and she did.
Martha Matilda O'Toole and two other of Jim Kopp's tales have been combined into a new book for children, complete with illustrations and an accompanying CD. It's called Jim Kopp, Will You Tell Me a Story? Our ambassador to the world of children's literature, Daniel Pinkwater, joins us from his home.
Scott!
Yes.
I have one thing to say. No, I have two things to say.
Okay.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
The first thing to say is I am wary of books that come with CDs. And I shy away from music recordings specially made for children. In general, they give me the pip. When you and I did a children's radio program a few years ago, we gave them Fats Waller and Louis Armstrong, and I think we did right.
Yeah.
So here's a book with a CD and music specially made for children, and it is great.
Now, you knew him, I gather.
I know his work. And here's the thing. Jim Kopp and his partner, Ed Brown, started producing these records in the 50s.
He was like a cabaret performer, wasn't he?
He was a cabaret performer and an intelligence officer in the war, and then he wrote a society column in a Los Angeles paper, so figure him out. And so he started doing this in his house, using three home tape recorders, and Brown played some of the characters, designed the albums, and they would take a suitcase and go around and hand sell the records to upscale stores like Neiman Marcus and Bergdorf Goodman and FAO Schwartz, and they kept this up for at least 10 years.
Oh, my gosh. Well, of course, now you and I usually read from the book, but we have the Kopp and Brown recording.
It would be a shanda or a scandal or a shame for you and I to read it when we have the actual sound.
All right, but let's listen and maybe talk a little bit about one of the stories here, Miss Goggins and the Gorilla.
Now, our story opens in the classroom of Miss Goggins, an incredibly nasty teacher.
Ugly, too, they point
ugly
out.
Ugly, too. Mm-hmm. So she uses words like unruly, disobedient, and vituperative to describe the children. I love it, and kids love it when grown-up words appear in children's books. It sure takes me back to the Nettlehorst School on Broadway in Chicago.
Yes, Broadway and about Melrose?
Yes. Many of the teachers I had were very like Miss Goggins.
So, can I spill the beans? A gorilla's in the classroom, right?
A gorilla shows up.
The huge animal came straight toward Miss Goggins.
Get out of here. How dare you come into my room? You aren't a real gorilla. You are only Mr. Hobson, the manual training teacher, dressed up in a gorilla suit to fool us. Get out!
Well, I think he really is a gorilla, okay? I'm taking a look at the illustrations. He doesn't look like Mr. Hobson in a gorilla suit to me. I think he's really a gorilla. But the point of it is she kicks him out.
She pushes him. She shoves him. Not even a gorilla can stand up to Miss Goggins.
Silence. That was not a real gorilla, and you are stupid children for thinking so.
I love her.
She we've all had teachers like this. So she tries to continue the lessons, but you know what? The gorilla will not be held at bay. He comes crashing through the door.
And then...
said the gorilla through the door.
Silence, Mr. Hobson.
Said the gorilla, and he came suddenly crashing through the door. And with his hairy arm swinging, came straight for Miss Goggins.
I told you to get out of my room,
said Miss Goggins.
I shall report you to the principal.
Report me to the principal, said the gorilla, removing his false head. And who do you suppose he really was? He was the principal of the school himself.
All right. Turns out he was checking on the teachers, as he always did, in disguise once a year. And because she performed so miserably, he fires her.
And out the door she flew. And it was the last the children ever saw of her. Of course, such a thing could never happen nowadays, because there aren't any more teachers like Miss Goggins, are there, children?
I can see where I can see where these were very popular, and so still
satisfying.
Should be. And now we've got a note to today's children who are growing up in a world of digital audio and YouTube and TiVo. The technology might sound a little bit primitive, or does it? On the other hand, does it sound charming?
It's not that primitive when you consider that it's one guy, and various kitchen appliances, kazoos, toy pianos, and 3 Ampex tape recorders in his living room.
How does the book part hold up here?
I think it's a handsome book. I think the illustrations are right in the groove. Apparently, Lindsay DuPont, the illustrator, grew up listening to the gym. The Jim Cop records came with little sort of like, I don't know what you call them, push-out or pop-out figures, and you could make a little cardboard theater. It was quite elaborate. The whole thing is in such good fun. I'm so pleased that we can call this to people's attention.
Daniel, thanks so much for bringing it to our attention.
Scott, it is always a pleasure, particularly this time.
Daniel Pinkwater is the author of many fine books for children and for adults. His latest book is The Egacy. And by the way, you can find an installment of it on his website, pinkwater.com. You listening, Miss Goggins?
1,857 pages thick. And I'm glad I took it. It fits perfectly under the short leg of my pool table. It wasn't a history. I know because it had no plot, it wasn't a mystery. Because nobody there got shot. The day I read a book, I can't remember when. But one of these days I'm gonna do it again. Yes, one of these days I'm gonna do it again.